the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
It's been some time since the new crypto exchanges opened in South Africa, but here we are. The latest addition is AfriDex, founded by Frank Leonet, formerly with Altcoin Trader. AfriDex, which recently obtained its crypto asset service provider license from the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, comes with a slightly different offering than the incumbents led by Luno, Valor, and Altcoin Trader. What's different about AfriDex? Well, it doesn't have the same number of cryptos on offer as Valor, for example, but one noticeable difference is the ability to earn passive income through staking by the hour. In other words, you can earn interest by the hour. And that's a benefit to active traders. Also, there are no lockup periods. There's 24-hour access to the platform and the kind of deep liquidity that should appeal to institutions, which will be particularly relevant once ETFs are allowed in South Africa, which will hopefully be this year. It comes with some fancy technology that allows for bot trading, backed up by state-of-the-art security. Well, let's dig in. We're joined now by founder and CEO, Frank Leonet. Hi, Frank. Thanks for joining us. Let's start off with a bit of an introduction to AfriDex and what makes it different from the other crypto exchanges out there.
Good morning, Kieran. Thank you for having me on your podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. As you mentioned, AfriDex is the newest exchange on the market, newest licensed exchange, and it comes with a very experienced team. We've got about 25 years combined experience in the crypto space. Our platform is fully automated. It's available 24/7, as you mentioned. It comes with all the necessary features, APIs. It's geared up for inexperienced users as well as experienced users. We believe that we focused quite intently on the user experience. We believe that a lot of the customers out there were quite intimidated by crypto, and you know, just creating an interface that just eases that whole process is what our mission was. So we've streamlined that. We've streamlined the onboarding process, and we've integrated a product called Zop, which is a RAND stablecoin, which is not what the other exchanges have done. We allow free swap to Zop from RANDs. It's a one-to-one swap. And this allows users to take advantage of opportunities in the decentralized networks and return back to our platform and convert them back into RANDs. It's a very easy process. Businesses are planning on using our API to automate their businesses and use our platform for automated payments using Zop. So it's quite a niche area that we're focusing on. We've also identified a few products that other exchanges have ignored. These, you know, will eventually make their way onto our platform. There's over 10,000 cryptos, and in South Africa, we seem to always just get stuck with a handful. There's products that we believe have got communities, and we intend to bring those to our platform. One of those products is, I think, VeChain. VeChain is a supply chain management on blockchain. It's got quite a good community. It's got earning potential. It has staking, and we hopefully will be the first to market with VeChain in the coming months. Yeah, and then also just OTC trading goes without saying. And then we have a couple of USB products that, you know, we won't mention now, but they will make their way into our platform over the next couple of months. Those hopefully will be first to market products. So we're quite, careful of what we mention in and around those products.
All right, let's just dig in a little bit there on the supply chain side. That seems to be quite a new offering. Explain what that is. How does it work?
Well, my background is in enterprise resource planning, is supply chain. And, you know, it's a particular coin that appeals to me because you can track everything and every interaction that a product has on the blockchain from the time that it is assembled into a product or the components, from the time that it's shipped, from the time that it gets to its destination. And if it's, let's say it's, for example, it's a commodity like oranges and stuff like that, you would be able to track its expiry dates and so forth all via blockchain.
Right. So you're offering this to the AfriDex platform. Presumably, this is not something for people who are interested in buying crypto necessarily. This, I guess, is for somebody who wants to run a company and to track the flow of products through the blockchain and have an immutable record that they can look up at any time.
100%. However, just having said that, it has its own token, which is in the marketplace, and it has got a presence on a lot of the international exchanges. And so it's traded as a normal cryptocurrency as well. So people trade on the back of a real-world business.
Right. And what is the token? What's it called?
It's called VeChain. The acronym is VET.
I take it that's not a stable coin. That's something that rises in price, rises and falls in price.
Yeah, correct. It's not a stable coin at all. It's something that does fluctuate with market.
So just talk about that aspect of it, because people who are not into crypto might be listening to that and they'd be interested in the whole supply chain side. Would they have to purchase the VeChain token in order to take advantage of the service?
So the VeChain token is built on the back of their business model. And, you know, like with all these tokens, they are traded on a little bit of speculation, as well as the underlying technology that is provided. And people look for good projects. You know, in the marketplace, there's meme coins. We've seen so many meme coins come out, Pepe, you know, Dogecoin. They don't really have a business model, but they have a huge following. And so tokens like VeChain pretty much have a proper business behind them. They have a plan behind them. They've got a product. They've got, you know, infrastructure and so forth behind them, and they're actually doing something. So that makes the difference in these products. There's many of them, and I think we're going to see a lot of that in the future. You know, by the end of the decade, many, many companies are going to release similar type products or tokens, should I say, based on their current business performance and functions.
So you're from the ERP space, like SAP and NetSuite and products like that. That's where companies run their entire businesses off these platforms. Explain, what would be the advantage of using a supply chain on the blockchain rather than your SAP or NetSuite?
Well, I think that the blockchain is, you know, much better than a standard database. The blockchain makes the information available across the world without having to have SAP on the other end to interpret those transactions. So you can build out your own interface on your end. And somebody on the other side of the world can have their own. The transactions are going to be stamped into the blockchain and publicly available, whereas a database, a proprietary database like SAP, doesn't have that functionality.
Oh, okay. So this no doubt was quite a long journey to get AfriDAX up and running. And you decided to launch around the time that the FSCA issued your crypto asset service provider license. Was the licensing process difficult?
December last year, the FSCA received a total of about 420 CASP license applications, and I think 250 of them have been accepted. Some declined, and I think over 100 have just withdrawn their applications. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. You know, they're quite difficult business models, specifically exchanges. Other crypto businesses that are not exchange types are a lot easier to get off the ground. An exchange is got a massive footprint. So the regulators are more, strict with the exchange. And they require you to demonstrate adequate knowledge that you can and have operated in this environment. You have sufficient industry knowledge. In fact, the whole process, you know, you wouldn't believe, we had to build the entire business out, put the cart before the horse, so to speak, before we could, you know, approach our customers. So, we've had to have experienced people in compliance, you know, working in our company. We've had to have blockchain infrastructure experts, security people, marketing and developers. You know, so the whole business needed to be kitted out and ready to go before we could approach the FSCA. So that was quite a complicated process that we had to go through.
Tell us a bit about yourself and your background. You said I mentioned in the beginning you were previously with Altcoin Trader. You said you also have an ERP background, that's enterprise resource planning, if I'm not mistaken. So tell us about yourself.
Oh, yeah, well, I've always been entrepreneurial in nature. I had my own information technology company for 15 years before I came into blockchain. We were doing ERP solutions, CRM solutions, customer relationship management solutions, as well as infrastructure and security in and around those platforms. And so we did that for about 15 years. And when I joined the previous exchange in 2016 as a partner, the crypto market was pretty much at its early stages, and there was hardly any developers or people who understood the blockchain technology. So when I joined, I had to develop automated wallet integrations, banking rails, compliance solutions, ticketing systems, you know, and all sorts of infrastructure skills that we brought from our previous company. So we applied that in the next company. It took us many years to understand, you know, the blockchain technology, because everything was poorly documented in the early days. So we had to kind of fill in the blanks. We had to study quite a bit in and around these various technologies. And, you know, eventually we got to a stage where we could train up developers and, you know, allow them to take over the solutions that we built. And yeah, so it's about 8 years journey in crypto, understanding all of the background processes, knowing that, you know, what you see on the front end is just a small portion of what actually goes on behind the scenes in an exchange. Exchanges have a massive footprint, and not many people realize that. They just see a front end, but they don't realize it's an iceberg kind of scenario. Yeah. And then currently, I have two startup businesses, obviously Afrilex being the one that we're discussing now. And the second one is Glorip, which is a fully FRC compliance suite that has been built with real world experience. And that product, we plan to make it a global product. I do believe that it has the legs to compete on a global basis once we unlock one or two small little key features. And we've just received an ISO 27001 certificate on that product, which demonstrates our ability to handle cybersecurity and related things. It's an international certification that aligns with our goals for that particular product.
Right. So Glorip is a company that automates your compliance for you.
Correct.
If, for example, you're onboarding new clients, the whole back-end process, all of the documentation that's required by the regulator, the FSCA, presumably the Financial Intelligence Center as well.
100%. It's a full compliance suite, and it covers every aspect of the FIC requirements.
Okay, back to Afridax. Do you see that competing with the likes of Luna and Vala, or are you pitching at a slightly different market?
First of all, I have great respect and admiration for Luna and Vala. I think Fazlam has done exceptionally well, and we'll certainly be taking some lessons from Valor, because they started out in a similar situation a couple of years back, and it took them 5 years to perfect their business. They're still growing, and I think, you know, that's been a great mentorship for us on the side. But we want to earn trust in the marketplace. I think it'll be premature to directly think that we're competing on the same level as Valor and Luna. They're well entrenched into the market, close on 10 years now. For Luna and Vala, I think they're in their sixth year. I think we're going to remain humble. We're going to work out our own markets that we need to tackle. There will be similarities. There will be overlapping markets. But I think we'll complement those exchanges, because people are constantly looking for arbitrage opportunities between exchanges. They're looking for price differentials, and they trade on that. So that just brings us into that that phrase, so that we can take part of that that market. But also, you know, a lot of things have changed in the marketplace. You know, Bitcoin has just shot to $108,000. People are very curious. There's more people coming into the market, and so we want to position ourselves to onboard those new people into the crypto space.
One of the big issues for traders, of course, is fees. How do you stack up against the competition in this regard?
Our fees are competitive and aligned in the marketplace. There's no deposit fees on EFTs. There's no deposit fees on crypto. Our withdrawal fees are network-based. I mean, that's based on blockchain congestion, and they vary from time to time. And, you know, our trading fees are very competitive. They're aligned with everybody else in the market space, and in some cases a little bit cheaper. But just in terms of withdrawals, we have enabled multi-chain access to withdrawals, so that people can withdraw tokens on a different chain. It's a layer two solution that allows the token to be cheaper in transaction.
Can you elaborate on multi-chain functionality for our listeners?
So multi-chain functionality in an exchange is quite important to reduce the withdrawal fees. An example will be if you sent USDT on the Ethereum network, let's say you sent $30, it'll sometimes cost you $6 to send that transaction. If you use an alternate chain, a layer two solution, that can be less than 50 cents to be able to send that same amount. So we're constantly working in and around reducing our fees by providing these different chains on our platform. And just it just makes the whole process cheaper for customers to operate in.
Right. And do you do the selection of the chain? In other words, the multi-chain is operated in the background by yourself, or do you leave it up to the customer to make that choice?
Well, they certainly do have a choice to choose, but we provide the offering. So we will select which chains that they can choose from. So not all chains are going to be on our platform. It's the ones that make sense. So some other international exchanges will have five or six different chains that they can receive on. For us, it's only necessary to have a second one that is, we know that is competitive in fees because they all work. So we choose which ones are enabled, and the customers get to choose from the list that we provide.
And how many coins are you starting off offering?
Yeah, part of our roadmap is that we're starting off with 10 coins. We believe that, you know, the 10 most popular coins that we've selected on you know, CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko, you know, is a good place to start. It's part of our roadmap, and you know, over the next couple of months, we will be adding coins onto our platform. Our platform is designed in such a way that it takes us, I would say, less than a day to add a token on if we needed to, or coin on. So the process is very simple, but managing those coins is quite complex. You know, in your environment, you've got to make sure there's liquidity. You've got to make sure that you know, the withdrawals and the deposits are functioning correctly. And so on. So we're going to start with 10, and then we're going to increment up probably by the end of 2025 up to about 20.
Okay. And those coins would include the obvious ones, I guess, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Tether. You mentioned XR as well, which is the RAND stablecoin.
Yeah. So exactly that, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Tether. We've got SHIB, we've got Doge. We're going to have Solana on the platform. Just to mention a few, and Litecoin. We slowly but surely handpicking the tokens that we believe that need to be on the platform.
Now, you obviously anticipate much broader adoption for crypto to justify the investment that you've made in setting up a new exchange at this time. I guess a lot of people would say, wow, that's fairly brave. You're coming up against incumbents who've been going at this for several years, and they're already well established in the market. So where do you see the growth coming from? Is it going to come from further adoption of crypto? Is it today? I mean, obviously, Donald Trump is being inaugurated. Now he's obviously seen as very pro-crypto, and that's one of the primary reasons that Bitcoin has shot through in RAND terms past the 2 million RAND mark. It's quite a milestone. Where do you see the growth coming from as far as AfriDAX is concerned?
Yeah, it's a good question. Currently there's about 12% adoption in South Africa, and it's estimated by, say, 2030 that we would see additional 30% adoption in crypto, and maybe even more due to the likes of Donald Trump and various people like Elon Musk who are punting crypto. So the adoption is certainly a place where we intend to focus our products. Institutions are coming in into the market space, and they are spurring growth and demand, specifically in Bitcoin and Ethereum at this particular point in time. So, you know, retail investors as well, they're looking to maximize their profits. Traders are pouring in. So, you know, we put a long-term strategy. Our strategy is 5 years. We don't expect fireworks in the first year or even in the second year. We understand where the market's going and how many people are coming into the marketplace. And coupled with that, there's, you know, something called tokenized assets, real-world assets on blockchains. That's going to be a $16 trillion industry by 2030. And what that really entails is fractional ownership of property on blockchain, you know, high value assets on blockchain and those kind of things. And we want to be in the running. Our platform needs to be ready for those kind of assets. And they're going to be very crypto in nature.
Finally, Frank, what about the rest of 2025? So you're launching with 10 coins. What can we expect to see from AfriDAX by the end of this year?
Well, so like I said, we've actually set out a roadmap. We opened for soft launch in December, and it was really just to see if the wheels are turning. And now we're having an official launch closer to the 27th of January, and we're going to be giving away some crypto to the first couple of hundred customers. And that's with our 10 coin, package that we've got of coins. And then in February to March, we're going to activate all of our staking products. And we're going to allow people to earn rewards on holding certain cryptos in our platform. That's going to be quite exciting. And once again, we are choosing cryptos going forward based on the staking ability. So, yeah, throughout the year, we're going to be expanding the coin offerings that we have. There's a couple of payment options that we will bring into. I won't elaborate on that now, but we'll definitely add those into our platform. And then, we're really following the localized coin offerings. People who have tokenized assets already, real-world assets already, and we want to open our platform up to the South African market, initially and obviously international at some point.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck with the launch, which you say is coming up on the 27th of January. Is the platform actually live now, or is it only going live on the 27th?
No, the platform's been live. People can sign up. They can do deposits, withdrawals. They can trade. Everything is fully functional. And the reason why we haven't really advertised it at this particular point in time, we just wanted to make sure that everything was in place and that everything was working correctly as anticipated. Like I mentioned before, it's a very, very sensitive environment. It's with a large footprint, and you've just got to make sure that your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted to make sure that everything is 100%. There's a lot of risk associated with opening a platform, and you need to make sure that you're on top of those risks all the time. So we're open, but officially launching the 27th.
Just one more final question on security, because that would be something I'm sure the regulator wants to see that you've got covered and your clients as well, given the hacks that can happen on exchange. How have you managed that?
Okay, well, the regulators are actually going to, officially do inspections, I think. They've introduced the cybersecurity resilience process that's coming into effect, I think, in June or July, and that's where you have to demonstrate that you have got the right procedures in place, specifically aimed at FSPs and those that are dealing with customer funds. It's an area that we have spent a lot of time in. We've got a lot of experience in that area. We're constantly monitoring our security. It's an ever-changing landscape, and we've built in many, many features for our customers to secure themselves, as well as building in platform security. And then just some area of security that not many people look into, it's internal security. So we've made sure that when we built out AfriDAX that we have internal security protocols that prevent a user that is operating the exchange from accessing user funds and so forth. So there's a lot of stops and gaps just dealing with funds.
Great. Well, we wish you the best, Frank. Thanks very much for joining us on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.